You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Be sure to check out newchurches.com/courses to check out a few of the different courses that we have.
We have courses?
Yeah, we have essential church planting.
I just wanted to jump in. I couldn't think of something to say.
So. Missional church multiplication. So be sure to check that out to learn more and learn deeper through those two courses that we currently have to offer. More to come. Well, my name is Daniel, and here is Ed Stetzer. Not Ed Stetzer.
Thank you. Just Ed Stetzer.
Just Ed Stetzer.
Ooh, you know, now that I'm eating, Dr. Stetzer.
Yes, Dr. Stetzer. I apologize.
I like that. From now on, no one else has to call me that, but I insist that you call me Dr. Stetzer.
Just because you said that, I refuse to. Our friend today, Alan Rathburn, with the Christian Missionary Alliance, sent a question in.
CNMA.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for taking these questions, guys. One of the key challenges for church planters is to build in the value of generosity into their church plant. What would you say are the key ways for doing that from the very beginning?
Yeah, you know, one of the things Tom Niebel and I think it was Gary Rohrmeyer wrote a book together called Church Planting Landmines. Mm-hmm. And in there, they talk about some of the things that actually, kind of keep things from working. They're landmines for the obvious description. And in there, they talk about finances, one, the inability or the refusal to talk about finances. And I think Daniel, there was kind of a move towards that. I think it was maybe people like Hybels and others who the idea was, and, you know, people can debate the idea, but just background on it. I mean, didn't take up an offering, you know, things put in the back, and it de-emphasized finances. And here's what I would say. I get the intent. And some people still do it. I'm not going around saying you should be doing this or that on the offerings. But what I would say is that I think it kind of taught a lot of church planters they couldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
But the reality is you have to talk about it. Matter of fact, in 2007, we did a study, and I was at the North American Mission Board, Publishers of Viral Churches, and online. People can find it. I think they can find it. Put it in the show notes, and we'll put it in the show notes. But we found that we looked at different characteristics, right? Where you have to find a means of measurement. So one was attendance, one was survivability. I'm going by recollection. This was years ago, but 10 years ago, and one was by self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
And what we found is there was only one action that was on all three of those things, and that was actually having a proactive stewardship development plan in the church. Isn't that interesting?
Okay.
So, and it was fascinating. Now, it didn't replicate in the most recent study, which doesn't mean it's not still there. It just means sometimes these things, there's enough statistical evidence to show it. But here's the thing. I have become convinced that church planters don't know how to deal with money. And when they don't know how to deal with money, it has become a problem for them. When they do know how to deal with money in a way that's appropriate, then it works well. So, couple of things. So first, I would say that you have to be willing to talk about it. Now, being willing to talk about it means it doesn't mean you have to do like a, I don't know, there's kind of an old, kind of old school way, and people still do it. But the idea of like a 4-week series every January on sometimes on tithing or stewardship or whatever, I'm not sure that's the best way. What I would say is, first of all, I would do a series on stewardship, a financial freedom series or things of that sort. And so what I would do is I would probably help people to deal with debt. You know, you tell people you want to you want them to give, right? But then they don't actually have the means to do it, right? You're going to go, okay, so wait a second. So now you're going to go, I'm living on 120% of my income and you want me to give more?
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
so,
that's very practical. And I mean, it's what they're thinking.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So I did a series called the Road to Financial Freedom that people, we'll put it in the show notes, and people can get it for free. They'll be provided to them, and they can give me a little DVD and everything, outlines the whole nine yards. Okay. And I went through four messages in the series, right? God's ownership, debt's dangers, greed's attitude, greed's antidote, and money and work's purpose.
Now, where's the alliteration?
Well, I know it's terrible. It's terrible. It's, but they're serious. Inside the messages are probably
okay,
in
okay.
It. But you know, when I talk about greed's antidote, I talk about giving. So I'm not embarrassed to talk about that, but for that, I guess, how about God owns it? I can't tell people to give when they haven't acknowledged that God owns, right? Or I can't tell people to give when they're enslaved to debt. I can't tell people to give until they understand money and work's purpose. So I think that the key is for us to sort of get a picture of giving as a stewardship, not just for them, but for us. We need to teach them And I need to stand before the people of my church and say, you know, here's what the Bible teaches about giving. Here's why you want to be engaged in it.
Yeah, and the series is great, right? But the series is great because it allows you to set that foundation, to refer back to it.
You sound like the series is great. It sounds like you're about to say, but.
I am going
to
say but.
Okay, go ahead.
Right? It's great because you can reference it.
Yeah.
Right? There's a common story. But
yes.
To think about having programs or even studies or even opportunity seminars or a 12-week study or whatnot that you're offering not only to your church, but to your community to get out of debt is going to be a great outreach way, not only to talk about generosity, but to give practical ways to help people get out of it.
That's good. You know, my friend Ashley Clayton was the one who sort of put this together.
Okay.
And one of the things he said, he works with stewardship and a denomination. He said, man, if a church will be the place to help people get out of debt and be better financial stewards, people would beat a path to the door of that church.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. Now, again, some people say, well, I don't think that's the business of the church. Okay, I get it. Well, what I would say is, it's business of life. Yeah. And part of the business of life is to teach all that I commanded you, Jesus said. And that's going to be part of it. Now again, I don't think the answer is the church doesn't need to just be, you know, the seminar, a financial seminar. But it's a great need that people actually have.
Yeah. Do you remember years ago when denominational or these organizations would come and do these retirement, these financial seminars at churches?
Yeah.
So I haven't seen many of that these days happening. But I found that actually they were incredibly helpful because that's where I first learned about the importance of wills, and where a lot of churches, especially I can't speak much to the States, but in Canada there's a lot of churchgoers who have actually wrote the church into their wills because it's actually more tax beneficial to give to the church than to give to the government through the taxes that get taken off.
I do think, you know, when church planners, they typically have a younger thing, so they don't think that way. Mm-hmm. But I think long-term that they need to have some helpful strategies to do that. And I think those kinds of things, those kinds of intentional helping to plan, plan their giving, their will and their estate giving, I think is essential. I think also, too, that I would be sure to not just rely on a stewardship series. Mm. So when I'm preaching on priorities, and I use, you need to have priority in your family, you need to have priority in your workplace, whatever. One of the things I talk about, priority in your finances.
Yeah.
And giving to the Lord from the first fruits of what you have.
Yeah.
So
to integrate it in and not just separate it out.
It's not like, okay, here comes everybody. Don't invite your friends. Yeah. This is the week we're going to talk about money. I think it needs to be a natural part of a natural conversation. And I tell people, listen, I know it's awkward. Matter of fact, if I ever preach on money, which I do sometimes, I say, I'd like to thank all of you first-time guests who are going to think that this is what we talk about every week. But the last time I had a message that was all about money was, you know, 2 years ago, whatever. But we talk about it regularly. The church I serve as teaching pastor in Miami, Christ Fellowship, there's always, every offering, there is some biblical teaching reminder of why we give or something else around the offering. It's not just, let's do it. There's a reason that we lay it out.
Yeah. Okay, so practical question here. Passing the offering plate.
Yeah.
Now, when you pass the offering plate, for me, I do all my giving online.
Yeah.
Right? I have checks. I know some of our audience may not know what checks are, but I have checks and I do write checks for the school, you know, for my children's activities or whatnot. But when it comes to the church, I give online because it's easy. So when the plate actually passes me by, I see a dollar here. I see a check there. It's not overflowing.
That's true.
So what do you think about that and how that impacts the culture of generosity?
Well, I do think that it's a different feel. We don't feel that way. We don't feel like we're giving in that same way. So, I do think that first, I would say, get in the habit of putting something in the offering plate. And that's why having some sort of communication card at the end or stuff like that helps. Second, I would always mention online giving so people don't think nobody's giving, but mention, you know, most, because I mean, here's the deal. I mean, online giving is very clearly has a correlation with higher giving, right? Because people go on vacation, whatever, they don't give, online giving, they do.
Yeah.
I try to write checks, partly because I want to, the act of worship to putting it in, but some do, some don't, you know, some don't give, you know, weekly, some give regularly. I think the best case scenario, which I don't always do, is for you to set aside a weekly habit of writing a check or putting some cash in an envelope. And on the first day of the week, you know, it talks about this in the scriptures, setting aside giving as an act of worship. Now, I know that's old school. I would still do online giving, but I could put a portion in. I think there's something. Now, the obvious question is, well, is that so other people can see? No, it's because no one's looking to see what I'm putting in the offering plate, but it's so I can participate in the act of worship in the Sunday morning worship service at our church.
Yeah, that's a good point, because what I try to do when the offering plate comes by, I'll begin praying, you know, and I'll begin thanking the Lord for my daily bread, thanking him and saying, thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to do this. And I'm praying, in a sense, for what I gave online, right? But to actually put something in there, it does remind me, because I don't always do that, right? I forget to do that sometimes. And I just kind of begin singing or I think about something else and my mind wanders. But to have that, to prepare that, can definitely be an act of worship. Not ritualistic, but something that can definitely aid in that way. Now, what do you think about the whole idea of sharing wins and not just prayer requests, right? Because when we look at the value of generosity and building the value of generosity into our church plant, sometimes we'll share prayer requests, right? So that goes into your, when you're in your small group, or even maybe there's some corporate prayer requests, or even in the bulletin, you may put some prayer requests. Now, what if instead of just putting prayer requests or just sharing that, you're sharing wins, you're sharing prayers answered? Do you not think that that could possibly lead and develop a culture,
a different culture. Yeah, yeah, I think so. Do you tie, I'm interested as you express this, do you tie in, are these financial wins? Or are you talking about we were able to do so-and-so through your giving or what, just personal testimonies?
Yeah, I would say both. Okay. At the church I was previously at, what we would do during the offering, during the announcement time, is we would not always kind of preach the biblical basis, right, of offering and of giving, but we would always tie it to ministry.
Okay, yeah.
So we would say, hey, because of your giving,
right,
we were able to do this, or because of your giving, and we would share a success story or a transformation story in our children's ministry. Because of your giving, you're allowing this to happen. And those 30 seconds, they're not highly produced. It was just verbally sharing that story. That was a way just to help people connect their finances with actual ministry.
No, I think that's good. I would say, too, that a lot of church planners, pastors, just people in general, they don't think strategically around how to communicate that value. And again, I'd refer them to, I love church planning landmines. I think that's a helpful resource. And also, too, there are a lot of, like, online, you can just Google some real helpful resources on giving. It's hard for some people. Practice it. Practice how you're saying it. Feel comfortable with it. Practice in front of your spouse so that you know, you get some feedback there as well. And say, I don't want to sound pushy or desperate, but I want to also kind of cast the vision.
Yeah. In fact, in one of our most recent courses on newchurches.com, Missional Church Multiplication, one of the modules that Aaron Graham, a pastor in DC, taught on was the whole idea of money and mission. So that's actually a great module within that Missional Church Multiplication course,
right. Good,
that you can take a look at as well. He looks at the difference between focusing on money versus mission, and he talks about how to raise support and cultivate next level givers. He has a fascinating story in that. Well, thanks for listening in. Be sure to send your questions in at newchurches.com and click the sidebar that says send voicemail, or if you're on your phone, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and you can send it in there. We'll catch you guys next time.